Om Shanti. Good morning. So today is what would normally have been Baba's meeting, but now we call it the Avyakt meeting. And the topic, I don't know if you caught it this morning, but the topic is stepping up. So what we're going to think about is the time, because we've had Sakar Baba, we've had Avyakt Baba, and now there's a new time that's upon us. So what does that mean for me as an individual? What does that mean for us as a family? How do we need to step up to the time now? So first of all, I want to ask you, would it be good if Baba kept coming as he has been? Would it be actually good for us? Think about it. Would it be good if Baba kept coming, if he took maybe another medium, or Dadi Gulzar got well and was able to continue as we have had for 50 years? Would it be good? What do you think? Maybe not, because we might not feel the urge to make effort. What do others think? Think about it. Huh? What do you think? Would it be good if Baba kept coming as has been actually for the last 83 years, first in through Brahma Baba, then through Dadi Gulzar? And I think, like the sister saying, I think got into a bit of a comfort zone, you know? And, you know, Baba's been teaching us for 83 years. About 30 years ago, he said, I've told you everything. About 30 years ago. Right? Is there anything left for him to tell us? If we inculcated one muli, we could become complete. Is it right? Just one muli contains so much. So, what does it mean? What does this time now mean? Actually, I think we were starting to become like a religion. You know, all the organizations, all the religions started like us, with a vision to change the world, to make a difference. Religions, cults, whatever, big and small. So if we don't bring that change in ourselves and we just keep going along like this, are we different to any other religion? What do you feel? I'm looking at your faces. What do you feel? We can communicate through the eyes, through the face, so let's make this a bit interactive. And you can say something if you can speak loud enough. So, Baba said today, everything's beneficial, right? Everything's beneficial. So, there's actually great benefit. And I have to also ask you, you know, we saw the last 2-3 years, you know, we really tried to get as much as we could from poor Dadi Gulzar. She, you know, tried so hard to deliver. We have to accept and move with the drama. And the drama is telling us, I feel, that we really need to step up and inculcate the teachings that Baba's giving us. So what does that mean to you, to each one of us? And there's a few things that have been going on recently. Well, not too many, but you probably know of some. But when Sister Shivani was recently in Australia, she was in Australia a few months ago, and she was interviewed, and we, you know, published her interview in our Australian magazine, and then she did another interview when she came back to India that's in Hindi. I have it if you want a copy. I can send it to you. But it was really very interesting because she was saying that, you know, she really does not speak. And her part emerged, interestingly, when Daddy Prakashmani left the body. She said, I don't know where this knowledge, where this wisdom that's coming from through me comes from, whether it's Daddy Prakashmani or Baba or I don't know, but it's certainly not me. She said, I don't even remember what I said. I listened to my talk so that I can use that for public programs. But what was interesting also, she was saying that when she doesn't feel this presence, she told the people in the recording studio, I'm not feeling that presence. I don't think I should do the recording today. And they said, no, let's go ahead, let's do it. She said they've never used any of those recordings where she hasn't felt the presence. Now, she's not. What's nice about this way she describes it, she's not claiming anything. She's not saying, I'm channeling someone, you know. She's not. She doesn't even know what's happening. But something's happening. Right? That's her experience. Something is happening. You probably, some of you don't know me, but my name, as you know, is Morni, originally Maureen. I came to Baba at the same time as Sister Maureen from London. So when we came to Madhuban, she was called Mughali and I was called Morni. Mughali is a bit of a funny name, but Morni stuck. And I'm originally from Australia. I was serving in Asia for 30 years. I recently went back to Australia for 4 years, but probably I've been in Asia too long. I didn't settle in. I didn't feel at home. It didn't really work for me. So just 6 months ago, I moved to Taiwan because Baba has centers in 130 plus countries, but didn't have a center in Taiwan. And one morning, why I'm telling you the story is one morning at Amrit Vela, I can't say I heard the words, but the words came to me, go to Taiwan and open a center at Amrit Vela. Dr. Nirmala was in Australia and I met her 2 days later and I said, this is, you know, what came to my mind at Amrit Vela. What do you think? I think, and I said to her, I think people from Hong Kong will help me because I served in Hong Kong for 22 years. But when I said that, I thought, I hope I'm not making this up. Well, I don't know where that's coming from, but I said it. And she said, yeah, why not? Because people have tried for many years to start a center in Taiwan. Two different brothers were there for some years. And so when Didi said, yes, try, I just decided, yes. And so I called Hong Kong Center and I said, I'm going to Taiwan to open a center. I had no money. I speak little Chinese. I've learnt it, but I've never really spoken it much. So I speak a little Chinese. And I didn't know anyone except one sister who, Cindy's sister, who's been in touch. But I said to Sister Rohini, I'm going to Hong Kong, to Taiwan to open a center. Imagining arriving at the airport, not knowing anyone, not knowing the language. But I really felt, why I'm sharing this is I felt Baba, my feeling was Baba asked me to go to Taiwan. And I said, yes. He's asking me, right? What should I say? I said, yes, Baba, I'll go. And that was really the feeling. But I really had the feeling that if he's asking me, he's got a plan. And he will do it. Because what I also realized on a deeper level, I think we all realize this to some extent, could Baba do service in Taiwan without one of us? Can he do something there? Actually, can he? What can he do in Taiwan if one of us doesn't take him there? What can he do? Can he do? Be very hard, because even if you touch people's intellect, what would they do with it? Where would they go? You know, how would they act on that? And also, I had another insight. I mean, these are my churnings, right? I'm not telling you that it's fact, but I really had the feeling it was Brahma Baba, because I don't think Shiv Baba thinks about these things. Shiv Baba stays in the unlimited, but I think Brahma Baba really was the one that said, let's go. And so I quite like that too, because, you know, Brahma Baba's the father of humanity, and we know that, you know, after 50 years he's still serving. Because one time Sister Janti was asked, you know, what's really going on with Brahma Baba now he's in that subtle region? And does he accumulate any good karma for all the kind of service he's doing? Is Brahma Baba still doing service? Is he? He is. Well, this was my experience too, that he's touching my intellect. He's still doing a lot of service. So what happens to the good karma? Because if you do good actions, something comes back to you. So what happens to that good karma? Sister Janti said that because Brahma Baba's already karmateet, he doesn't need any good, he doesn't need the fruit of his action, so he donates the fruit of that action to the Brahmins and to the world in general. And in Buddhism, there's a term that's called bodhisattva. And that's what they talk about. They talk about souls who attain enlightenment but choose not to merge into, you know, nirvana and to stay and serve. It's very interesting. Christians call it an angel. Buddhists call it a bodhisattva. But Baba is a bodhisattva. So he's doing, he's still acting, he's still serving. And then I had that thought, well, you know, the fruit of this karma, I'll get a part of that for sure, because I'm, you know, doing his work. So some of it will come to me. And, you know, Sister Janti said the rest goes to the world in general. And I thought, well, let's put a bit of that into Taiwan, because we really need to serve in that particular place where there has been some service, but not on a continuous basis. So it was just another example, like Sister Shivani's one example. This is another example of how Baba is working. And I think all of us can open ourselves more to what Baba still needs to do. Because we don't even have centers in every country in the world. And Baba is the father, Shiv Baba is the father of all souls in the world. So it doesn't seem that it can happen in the drama that any place is not touched. What do you think? Because even though, like, you're in a country, it's a huge country, so perhaps you can't verbally reach every soul, maybe not even through the media. But at least when you're in a country, you're thinking about that, all the souls of that country. You know the population, you know something about it, and you're thinking of service in that land. And even when I said I'd go to Taiwan, and I came to Madhuban after that, and I was in Madhuban, and, you know, I was making my plans to go to Taiwan. When I went back from Madhuban, I Googled Taiwan to see actually where is it, how, what's the population. I Googled to find out something, and I was in Sydney looking after the new kind of regional office there in Sydney. And when I Googled, I saw that the population of Taiwan, a little island smaller than this tiny island in the south of Australia called Tasmania, it's smaller than that, but the population's as large as the whole of Australia, 24 million people. So when people said, but why are you living here? I said, 24 million people and no one doing service there. In Australia, there's 40 centres and 24 million people. So why would I not go? But, you know, we don't even know. I mean, it's not kind of on our radar until a Brahmin starts to put some energy into that. And, of course, everything started to flow. You know, I called, as soon as Didi said to go and I called Hong Kong, I didn't know, but the sister in Hong Kong, Rohini, she said, oh, there's a sister here who's been offering financial support to open a center in Taiwan for months, and no one's taken it up. See? You just do what Baba says, and he has everything planned. And then there was a retreat in the retreat center in Philippines. I have 26 people who went to the Call of the Time retreat with Brother Charlie. 5 were from Taiwan. How did they get there? Right? How did they get there? And they've become instruments for the service there as well. So Baba's got a plan, but I think we really need to open ourselves and catch. It's not necessarily to go to a new place to do this, but it could be anything. It could be one particular service that I can do of a particular group of people. It could be anything. But I do think that there's a lot going on the subtle level that maybe some of us aren't picking up on. What do you think? Am I making this up, or do you think so like that? And that's what I think we need to open ourselves up to more and more. And if we're too comfortable in our center, in our service, going along in our Brahmin life, we tend not to progress as much as we need to progress. Because we're all aware of the physical situation in the world. In fact, even before going to Taiwan, I went to Chile for a few months, and people said, oh, be careful, there's a lot of earthquakes there. And then I went to Indonesia, and again, people said, be careful, there's a lot of earthquakes there. Then I went to Taiwan, they said, be careful, there's a lot of earthquakes happening there. So, I mean, wherever we go, whether it's fires, earthquakes, floods, war, you know, it's all around. And so it's not that, you know, we have a lot of time to move forward. I mean, Baba's been teaching us for 83 years. Did you think the confluence age would last that long? I don't think the seniors thought. I mean, the Dati said that once. How do we get so old? Imagine, they started so young and they thought it was going to happen, what, 1976? And here it is, 2019. And we're still doing what? What are we doing? That's the question. What are we doing? And I think that's something for each one of us to ask ourselves. What am I doing with my Brahmin life? Just sit for a few minutes and think about that. The first question is, am I enjoying it? And I think, for the most part, we'd all probably say we're enjoying it, right? There's challenges. But as someone said, you know, we're not on this spiritual journey actually for to be peaceful and happy. It's for building resilience. We're an army. You know, we are an army. So we have to build stamina so that we can face what is to come. We have to build stamina so that we can be a support for others. So we're not we shouldn't expect that this Brahman life is just peaceful and happy. Maybe we thought when we first came that we were coming into this organization just so we can meditate, be peaceful, have a divine family. But it's not quite like that, is it? We're all challenged to build stamina and to build up our resilience so that we can, you know, earn, actually. You know, in an army, we're Baba's army. In an army, it's not like going to your auntie's home. You really have to have disinterest. You have to see the big picture. You have to see where what you're doing and what you're doing it for. And sacrifice. You know, it's a life of sacrifice being in the army. It's not a life of easiness. So we're not just a nice spiritual organization, but we're a Shakti army. And that means that we need to step up to that. And I think if we don't, we're not going to survive. We're not going to survive this Brahman life if we don't build that stamina and that resilience and keep the big picture in front of us and know, you know, what we are doing and why we are doing it and where we're going and, you know, all of that. Because it's really us that's bringing the change in the world. Baba is the one, the general. He's behind us. He's teaching us. He's preparing us. But we're the ones out there on the field. We're the ones that need to do the work that needs to be done. Is it correct? Is it correct? I mean, what can Baba do? We're his instruments to get his work done. But actually, he's only doing it for us. But the other big aspect that we need to think about, and that is that Baba's not going to be in the golden age with us. So what does that mean for us now? Because, you know, these are the precious moments of being able to know God. And I had an interesting insight the other day, a little bit into that. I was just in Hong Kong with Daddy Janki, a wonderful, wonderful experience with Daddy in Hong Kong, in the sense that she's 103, and what I saw is she was still able to satisfy everyone on such a deep level. You know, I just couldn't believe it. I went there not expecting anything because, you know, I mean, she's 103. I just thought it's lovely to be with her, to see her, but I just couldn't believe the level of fulfillment that each and every person received from her. I mean, at one point, there was a few sisters who, you know, were feeling a little distant for whatever reason, and so Rajni Ben took them to see Daddy. Daddy was in bed. So she told those sisters, come on, get in bed. Can you imagine? So two of them got on the bed with Daddy. The other was a bit too old to do that, so she sat by the bed. But, you know, just that feeling, I wasn't there, but I can just feel what it must have been like. You know, so this kind of incredibly deep love and, fulfillment that people were able to experience. And one time Baba said that, you know, that it's really mostly the daddies that are doing all of the service. We're not doing that much. Because when I compare, would I be able to satisfy, you know, I think there was 240 on the retreat and another 200 that came for an evening program. But would I be able to satisfy people to that level? And I need to be able to, because we're not only, this is a very open discussion, we're not even only losing, you know, what we had from Baba. We're not losing Baba, but we've lost what we were getting, these avyakta these meetings that we were having, but even the dadis, we've only got how many left now? So who's going to fill the place of the dadis? I mean, the whole world needs dadis. They need what we get from the dadis, right? And this is also what's become so clear to me being in Taiwan, because Taiwan's a very spiritual place, very spiritual. People have very high dharana, and they have done everything. Most of them have been to so many retreats and spiritual organizations, and they come to the center because they're still looking for something. And I have been challenged in this, thinking, I don't think to this point I'm fulfilling what they're looking for. And so my aim in Madhuban this time, and it was also when I went to Hong Kong, was to really be able to give an experience to souls, because Baba has said that's what they want. You know, I don't even find you can talk to souls nowadays. They've heard so much. They've been to so many groups. They don't really listen very well. So what I do nowadays, I ask them, what do you want to hear? Do you want to hear about the organization? Do you want to hear about the way we meditate? Do you want to know a bit of our philosophy? They always say, we want to meditate. But when they say we want to meditate, I know they're not saying we want to, like, just sit down. They want an experience. Right? I'm sure you're getting this kind of experience and, feedback in your countries. And it's a challenge to us, because before we could serve with knowledge, we could give, you know, an introduction and they'd get quite a lot from that. But nowadays, I just feel they don't listen very well. And they look like they're tired of listening. So we need to be able to give an experience to souls. So stepping up, I think first and foremost, is that giving the experience that souls want. Because otherwise they just see us like every other organization. Do you think in your center many people come there feeling, wow, this place is like no other? I find they say this is good. And Baba's talked about that too, that they come to the Brahma Kumaris and they say, this is good, but they also think many others are good. But what they need to say is, this is it. Yahiha. This is the place. This is it. This is where I'm going to fulfill what I am yearning for. And so we all have to step up for that. And Baba's trained us to do that. And for me, I've been with Baba for 42 years. I'm ashamed to say, really. Because, you know, I know some of you are quite new. And if people like me haven't been able to do it in all this time, you might feel, well, what about us? So, you know, especially those who've been around for a while and have taken so much, I've received so much sustenance. So if I'm not able to give this experience to souls, then who can, you know? So it's really a big call, a real wake up, I think, seeing the time that we're passing through now with Baba, you know, not coming through the medium anymore, and the daddy's aging and the world falling apart. If I don't step up, then I don't think I can fulfill Baba's wish. I can't fulfill my part in the drama, because we are the Brahmins of the confluence age. We are the ones to bring transformation in the world. So if we don't do it, who else will do it? And the question we need to ask ourselves, do we really believe all of this? Do you believe that you are the chosen one to bring the transformation into the world? And at what level do you believe it? We can believe it on an intellect level, but the point that really struck me from yesterday's Muli, Baba said, it's through the power of knowledge that you'll become a magnet that attracts. And I've always thought about the power of yoga, actually, as being the magnet. But Baba said, through your power of knowledge. But of course, it's not knowledge in the intellect. It's not theoretically knowing all of this. But it's my state of enlightenment, knowledge to the point that I am it, I know it, and I can give you the experience of it because it's who I am. So I need the power of knowledge at that level. And I'm telling you, I know people do feel good and feel attracted, but then I find that I'm not able to take it to that next level that they feel that they've got it. They just feel, you are good, I get a good feeling with you, you know, this feels right. There is that much happening, but there's definitely another level that needs to give that experience that they say, this is the place. So one thing is that, you know, Baba moving us on to another level is that. But the other is that, as I started saying, we only have a few more days left of this confluence age. Do you know what that means? A few more days left of really being with Baba. Because Baba's not coming to the golden age. So have I taken everything that I can take from the ocean? Have I fulfilled that yearning that I've had throughout all those years of bhakti? 2,500 years I've been yearning, seeking, stumbling around, looking for God. Have I fulfilled myself to the extent that I really feel that I've taken all that I want to take from God? That's another big question. So let's pause for a minute on that question. These pauses are too short to really take in that fact that we haven't got much longer of being with Baba. And then in the golden age, another big thing is that it's amongst ourselves that we need to live like milk and sugar and, you know, really be such a divine community. And I think all of us have a very beautiful relationship with Baba. And we know Baba loves us. Baba cares for us. I belong to Baba. Baba belongs to me. And I think on a scale of 1 to 10 of satisfaction in that relationship, we'd all rate pretty high. But can we say the same thing for our divine family? Because when Baba goes, we're it. We're the ones that are going to uphold the divine kingdom. What do you think? Are we up to that level? Are our relationships at that level? With other BKs, with the divine family? What do you think? How do you think we'd fare now if we were all just transported into the golden age? And we're the deities. And we are going to uphold this kingdom that we've created for 2,500 years. There'll be no sorrow, there'll be no division between us. I think that's a huge level that we have to step up to as well. Don't you? But we've got to realize that, you know, we're going to spend thousands of years together, but most importantly, we are responsible to uphold that divine community, that golden age world. Have I brought myself up to that level? And what am I going to do to bring myself up to that level? Because I think what I think has happened is we've heard a lot, we've enjoyed it, we like listening to it. But as far as inculcation, like Baba says to us every day, our behavior has to be divine, sweet, royal. We need to be living like milk and sugar. And these are all Baba's wishes. And if I love Baba, I need to fulfill that. Otherwise, I don't really love him. Baba says the proof of love is to become equal. Man Manabhav is let my thoughts be your thoughts. So is there any gap between where we are now and where we need to be? Does it make you disheartened, depressed, hopeless? I hope not, because we can't afford that. We really just need to step up. Step up. So we need to do whatever it takes to do that. So I would suggest that we all really do a very good inventory of where we're at, where we are meant to be, and how we're going to get there. Also really practical steps on how to reach that stage that we're being called to reach. So, let me hear from you. What do you think it means, this stepping up? How are we going? What's your experience? What do you think's going on at this time? Do you have any other thoughts on this? Because we were sharing at breakfast about it, just thinking, what are we called to do now? And how are we going to do it? When are we going to do it? How are you feeling with this conversation? These thoughts. How are you feeling? What does this kind of thinking evoke in you? Different. Difficult. So how does that make you feel? Awaken something. And the thing is, what's wonderful about our knowledge is Baba says we can have Jivan Mukti in a second. Because we are already that. Like the Muli said today, we are the Adi Sanatan Devi Devta Dharma. We are the eternal original deity beings. And this word Dharma gets translated as religion, but Dha means to uphold. So it means we uphold this original state of being. Swadharma means to uphold my original state of being. So all we really need to do is to step into that. It's not like we have to become something. It's not that we really have to change. What we need to do is to realize that I am that. Right? I mean, we don't have to be different to who we are. We just have to be who we are, truly and originally and eternally. And we know that. We know who we are. But again, we know it at this level. And so this morning, I have the fortune, I think it's a fortune, to conduct Amrit Vela, because you really pay much more attention. It's a good... So this morning, for the first time, I had the experience of being Bap Saman. But let me define what I mean by that, because I don't think I've really thought much about Bap Saman being equal to Baba, because it's always seemed so high, you know, like being equal to Baba. And when I say I experience being equal to Baba, to me, you know, I was trying to think, how can I say that? Because, you know, there's still a difference. So what it meant to me is that to be aligned with Baba, that I'm like Baba. So when we say something's like something else, it's kind of like not exactly the same, but it's like. I'm not different to. I'm not different than Baba. I'm like Baba. So what I was feeling in that meditation is that what does it mean to me, what it meant to me to experience that Bap Saman stage is that my vibration is the same as Baba's, right? The energy. So we all know the feeling of Baba's energy. So that energy is the same, and my vision is the same. So that's what I was experiencing, that my vision is the same, and my energy is the same. And in fact, this is what people comment to us. Most BKs would have been told by some people that people like our eyes. Do people tell you that? People like your eyes. Have they told you that? How many have been told that? See? Quite a few. Because, you know, our vision is like Baba's. We see the soul. And also when people say that to me, I think that's interesting, because the easiest way for me to connect to Baba is through Brahma Baba's eyes. You know, through those eyes. And I thought, oh, after looking at his eyes for over 40 years, maybe my eyes have become a little bit like his eyes, right? It should be. I mean, if you've been doing something for so long, it should have some effect. So I thought, oh, yeah, looking at his eyes all these years have made my eyes a little bit like his eyes. And what they feel with BKs is they feel comfortable. They feel... You know, our energy, right? Right? You've all been told people enjoy your energy. I'm sure some people have told you that. How many have been told that? That it feels good to be around you? Yeah, so many. So we are like Baba, because people feel that energy. They like what they see in the eyes. And so we're already like Baba. Of course, we can be more. We can increase that by knowing that we are like Baba. Like what I felt is, because I experienced that today, I know that I am Bap Saman. I am. To some extent, I am Bap Saman. So all I have to do is just keep being Bap Saman. And if I keep being Bap Saman, that's going to increase. Because before I couldn't even... To be honest, I didn't really conceive of myself as being Bap Saman. It seemed too high. But now I know I am Bap Saman. I am aligned with that same vibration as Baba, the same vision as Baba. So all I have to do is keep being Bap Saman, and it will just get stronger and stronger as I increase that awareness. So with all those experiences, being in an angel, being in that angelic stage, the more I, because we know that we are, you all know you're an angel? Do you all know you're an angel? Everyone's an angel? Yes? Not just here, but you know it, you feel it, you feel you're an angel? Do you play the role of an angel? Do you play the role of an angel? Yeah. So we are angels, so all we have to do is be the angel. And the more we are the angel, the more that will increase. So we don't have to become the angel. We don't have to become equal to Baba. We are. And with that consciousness, it will get stronger and stronger. So this is, to me, the effort that I, you know, feel is the kind of the awareness and attention. And it was really triggered quite a lot from yesterday's point that I need to be, you know, that it's the power of my knowledge, you know, knowing that I am Bapsaman, knowing that I am the angel, knowing that I am part of the Shiv Shakti army. I am that. I am that. Because also at another point in my Brahman life, I thought, I need to be more powerful. So I thought, oh, I'll get up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I tried for a few days, but it didn't really work. Sometimes it does work very well. It did work at one point for about 5 months in my Brahman life. But I felt it was Baba's help because it didn't seem any effort at all. But when I try to do it, it sometimes just gets my body clock out of balance. So what I realized, I thought, how can I be powerful? And that's when I realized that I am as powerful as I think I am. I am as powerful as I create my consciousness to be powerful. It's only at this level. Power is just here. It's not what I do, although everything I do helps me, you know, which gets me to the point of following Srimat and the Mariyadas, because this was a little experience I had recently. I went, after Dadi's program, I was invited to this gathering. It was one of the sisters' birthdays, Contact Souls. So all half of the people at this little gathering had been with Dadi. And then the next day there was this gathering, and half of them were drinking champagne, you know? They weren't Brahmins. So they're drinking champagne and, you know, of course they were feeling a bit guilty in front of me. But I said, I haven't come here to look at you. I just look at myself. I'm not bothered, you know. But what I did think is that when I started doing meditation, which was before Rajyoga, it was Buddhist meditation. When I started doing meditation, and to be honest, I was a typical Australian girl. Teenager, I did used to drink a bit because that's typically what Australian teenagers do. But when I started meditating, I could not. If I had a little bit of alcohol, I would get a headache and feel heavy. Because when we meditate, we are high. You know, it takes our consciousness, our state up. We don't even notice it because it's so natural for us. But I'm not suggesting you try, but if you had a drink, you would feel heavy and down. Whereas other people, they use it to go up. But we're already up, up. We are up, up. And so when I saw these people drinking, I thought, they like the Brahma Kumaris. They even say they love Baba. You know, they will say that. They like the Brahma Kumaris. But I don't think that they have tasted the nectar of yoga. You know, I think if they were meditating and experiencing something in meditation, they couldn't drink. They wouldn't want to. They wouldn't get any good experience from it. So when we are already tuned. So whatever we've done up to now has prepared us for great heights. Because we're already at a high level. We don't realize it because we just take it for granted. But we're already at a level because we are connecting. We know that experience. We're used to that. We're accustomed to this energy. So we're already on a high level, and all we have to do is to bring it up a bit. It's not like we're down here. You know what I'm talking about? It's not like we're not great beings, because we've already started getting up every morning at 4 o'clock, right? How many people do you know would do that? We do it because we have love for God and because we get something. We get this taste. We do taste the nectar, right? It's like nectar, that feeling for the soul. So we're already, you know, getting very well fed, in a sense. Our soul is feeding on God. So we're already at this level. It's not that we're nowhere. So all we have to do is just increase that and intentionally bring ourselves up to a higher experience of it. But, you know, we're already very much on the way to that. Do you agree? Because, you know, sometimes we just compare to other Brahmins. But when we compare to people in the world, not in a body conscious way, I don't mean that, but I just mean, you know, we are in this experience. We are in the experience of drawing on that beautiful nectar. So it's not hard for us. And as Baba keeps saying, it's only a matter of a second. So do you believe that or not? God has said we can achieve Jivan Mukti in a second. Is he telling an untruth, or is he telling the truth? Right. So it's not that we can't do all these things. Actually, we are so close to it. We are so close. And I think this is the push we need to do it. Because we've been a little bit dependent, a little bit childlike, maybe, you know? But this is the time. This is the message that is being given now, that we need to do all the things that we've believed in with our intellect. We need to do it now. So stepping up is about that. So any questions, comments? Otherwise it's 12 o'clock and we're going down for the meeting, so you may want to finish. Yes, Janet. Let me do it bit by bit. What Janet's saying, what has made it hard in the past is to think, I am my sanskars, I am my habits. Thank you. There's a microphone coming.
So what changed is, rather than thinking like that, is that I am my word. I am my word. I am who I say I am. So I gave my word to God that my job is to keep love alive. So I have to do my job, you know. So in the past, I used to think, what can I get from God? And it's like, now, who can I be for God?
Who can I be for God?
Yeah. So, you know, it's good to see who can I be. And if I do, if let me just do one thing properly. You know, I used to think, if with Daddy, if I had the right color socks, then my hair would be wrong. If my hair was right, then my jacket would be... You know, I can't do everything properly 100%. So let me do one thing 100%.
Let me do one thing 100%. And also what Janet was saying, if you didn't pick it up, is not to be caught up in all the little things, you know, looking right, you know, being approved of and all of that, right?
Yeah, but then it required having that love for myself, because it all starts with me, huh?
So I need to have love for myself to do this.
Because I think that's the blockage. We know Baba is the ocean of love, but if I don't love myself, then there's a block. So I think that's where the... It's like a commitment, though. It's not a hard work. It's just I give my word.
I gave my word. It's not hard work, it's a commitment.
and a passion.
And in fact, it's interesting because, you know, when you look back to yoga, what, you know, they start with when they start studying even Hatha yoga is the yamas and niyamas, the principles and disciplines. And what they mean, what you follow, which is basically all our Srimat, but what that means, what a yama means, is that a commitment that will bring benefit to myself and to others. A commitment that will bring benefit to myself and to others. So that's what I need, the commitment. Great. Good. So we're going to be going down to Shantivan. And I don't know about you, but when I watch the video that's been selected, that's played now for each meeting, I don't know what you experience, but I'm getting such amazing experiences watching that video. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if Baba's helping that experience, because so many people are getting that experience. Even though it's just a video, it's not Baba there. Shiv Baba, Brahma Baba, they're still very much around and very much present. And where you've got a gathering, we heard this morning, 18,000 people are down there. So where you've got a gathering of that, plus the Madhubanwasis and the people who live down in Shantivan, and then people all over the world tuning in at the same time, Brahmins, our family, children of Baba, I think it's not an ordinary thing. So I don't think we should think that something is not still happening, even though, you know, Babdada's not coming through the medium. I mean, Baba can serve us in so many different ways, and my experience is that something is happening in those meetings because they're quite an experience. And that's watching it, you know, in our countries it's like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, and watching it, you know, on a video, you can still get that experience. So we are going down into the gathering. Probably there'll be probably about 20,000. So we'll be down in that gathering. So let Baba do his work. Open up to it, because Baba's not limited, right? He is not limited. And this is the time for us to realize that. Sometimes we limit Baba and think he has to come through the medium to give me this experience, to give me drishti to. But he is unlimited. And this is the time to experience and know that fully. Good. So, Om Shanti. Let's spend a few minutes just thinking about this, stepping up and hopefully not forgetting it for a moment. In every step we take, think about stepping up, stepping up.